Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We continue our examination of Psalm 73. We've covered the first 9 verses, but I want to read those verses again to make sure that we've set the context for what's going on in this, okay? So often people do this, they'll pull a verse out of context, and then they don't understand what's going on because they just haven't looked at the total thing. And remember, we're looking at this juxtaposition between the wicked and the righteous. So here's Psalm 73, verse 1. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Verse 2. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. Verse 3. For I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. Verse 5. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eye bulges from fatness. The imaginations of their heart run riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue parades through the earth. That's the first 9 verses of Psalm 73, and you can see how it's a very good description of what the wicked do. Even in our times, they act and behave exactly like this. They've set their mouths against heaven. They parade their tongues about. And nowadays, there's so many abilities, so many different ways to parade your tongue about, right? They mock, they wickedly speak of oppression. My, you see that even at this moment of time, it's June 2019 right now, the time of this recording. It's the social media companies are ramping up exactly this, their oppression. I'm actually experiencing it on some platforms right now to where if you speak of things that are Christian, if you speak of things that are of faith or of God, you just get sort of erased. They'll say, oh, well, you can't post that because that's spamming people. Or you can't say that because that hurts somebody's feelings. They feel offended. They feel this. You literally see this happening. The imaginations of the wicked's heart running amok and running riot. Well, he continues in verse 10, therefore, in light of all this, his people return to this place, and waters of abundance are drunk by them. They say, how does God know? And is there knowledge with the Most High? So what he's talking about here, I believe, is that the people of the Lord turn back to these wicked people, and they don't find any fault with them, okay? And they slurp up their abundance of water. And they say, well, how does God know? Does God know anything? How do we even know he knows anything? And they say, is there knowledge with the Most High God? They're questioning God. That's what the wicked will do. They will draw you into questioning God quite often in the most subtle of ways. We see that happening within major denominations right now. Overt wickedness. Overt wickedness. Wickedness that the scripture describes as abhorrent. Okay? Wickedness that beyond any shadow of the doubt, the scripture says, you don't do this. You don't do these things. And people are now just literally dancing before the powers that be with their mouths and with their tongues parading about the earth, declaring that they have heard from God. And God has told them that it's okay to live in this particular kind of lifestyle. They're saying that it's okay that God made me like this. So therefore, you have to receive me. You have to accept me. If you don't, then here's what's going to happen to you. It's the same exact thing. And people get drawn into this. People get drawn into it because they do not know the scripture nor the power of God. Remember when Jesus said that to the Sadducees? You don't know the scriptures nor the power of the God. That's how you are erring. And the same thing is occurring today, particularly in denominational situations. They try to wax so eloquent. They try to look so loving and so kind and so good. And they're absolutely fraudulent fools. You see it from the pulpits, folks. You see it from the pulpits. It is rare for the true gospel to be preached. It is rare for the word of God to be preached. I have a very, very dear friend locally, and he shared something even today. We were just having a time of prayer together with a group. And he was just rejoicing in the fact that for that he's in a situation now, and he's not down in anything else he's experienced in his life, okay, nothing like that. But he said, I'm in a situation now where I really look forward to the preaching and the presentation of the Word of God. I can't wait until the next message. That is so rare. It is so rare, basically because people don't preach the Word of God. They say they do, they act like they do, and they absolutely don't. I'm absolutely amazed by it, okay? I'm dumbfounded by it. If people worked as hard in knowing the Word and just simply sharing the Word and just, I mean, not having to do these deep, dark theological propounding the things. No, no, no. If they just shared the Word, if they just learned it and shared it, God would move. If they worked as hard at doing that as they do at trying to be cute, okay, of trying to be relevant, okay, of trying to come across in a way where people will understand, you know, it's just, it's sickening. It really is. And so this attitude right here, does God really know? Is there knowledge with the Most High God? Well, let's continue here. Verse 12. Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease they have increased in wealth. So he's saying they're just at ease in their wickedness. Their wealth is increasing. Everything looks great. Verse 13. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence. You ever felt like that? This is the psalmist is Asaph. And he's saying, you know, it's just vanity that I've kept my heart pure. I've been trying to live the right way. I have kept my hands innocent. I've washed my hands in innocence. I haven't shed any blood. I keep my heart pure. I repent. I do all this kind of stuff. And you know what? They're the ones that seem to be living the easy life. Verse 14. For I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. In other words, things have come against him. He's been rebuked. He's been plagued. He's been stricken down. Verse 15. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. So he's saying to God, you know, if I'd acted this way and spoken this way, I would be betraying the children. But it's hard. He said, I don't understand some of these things. Now watch these last two verses. I'll share them right now. Perhaps we'll pick them up next time. Verse 16, when I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. So verse 16, he's saying, you know, I looked at this and I'm thinking about this. God, why is it? Why is it that these evil look like they have such a life of ease? Okay, because, you know, they're fat, and even when they die in peace, or they die in comfort, and all this stuff that he's described up in this point in time. He said, when I ponder this, it was really troublesome in my sight. Verse 17, are you ready? Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. Whoa, well, there we go. He's saying this, you know, I'm looking at this and it was painful for me. Different translations say it was a wearisome task. It was troubling to my eyes. It was painful to me to try to ponder this, to try to understand. Here I am trying to understand this in my mind, in my own thoughts. But then I came into the sanctuary of God. He went before God. He went in worship before God and he presented this before God. Then he perceived their end. King James says, then I understood their end. ESV says, I discerned their end. God let him know what the end of the wicked would be. Yeah, things may look great and wonderful now, but here is what their end is going to be. Okay? That is profound, folks. We still have a role. We have a responsibility to speak the truth, particularly in organized religion, organizational churches, to speak forth the truth, to try to get folks to do what the right thing is, you know, preach the Word of God. We need to exhort one another. We need to encourage one another. But I tell you what, when this wicked come along, don't let them distract you because there is a perceived end. God's going to deal with them. Well, my time is up. I will see you again next time. Goodbye.